Well, as I just mentioned to the children, this morning is Trinity Sunday, the Sunday during the church year where we consider all three aspects of God, which gets confusing as we often just refer to God as God. As Christians, one of our central doctrines is that of the Trinity, three in one, one in three, Father, Son, and Spirit. And our passage from John's Gospel is one of the rare places in Scripture where we see all three aspects of the Trinity being discussed. Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus, a leader at the temple, and during their time together, Jesus tells him, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And later, Jesus will say, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Then later, Jesus speaks some of the most well-known and most often quoted words in all of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. So that's great. We have a passage that speaks about all three aspects of the Trinity, describing them in some form or another, but not providing enough information to form a full doctrine or theology of the Trinity. On top of that, this passage is just confusing in the first place, being born again, being born above, being born of the Spirit. Sometimes I wish Jesus would just speak plainly. It can be confusing to keep track of and make sense of everything. And if you were here last week during the children's time, I probably did the best job I could possibly ever do of explaining how the three aspects of God coexist at the same time, using ice and hot water and the vapor from the water to illustrate how three things could be at the same place at the same time. And while the illustration might be useful, it comes nowhere near the truth of the matter. And we might ask, why does this matter? What is so important about the doctrine of the Trinity? Don't we worship God, believe in Jesus, and trust in the Holy Spirit? Isn't that enough? Do we really need to dig deeper? And I suppose the answer is yes, we do, if we are to try to understand God. However, I'm not going to explain it to you, because I don't want to put you to sleep this morning. And we'll do a Bible study on it, maybe one day. Carolyn Lewis puts it best. "If Trinity Sunday is merely a nod to ecclesiastical arguments made long ago, or an apologetic to make the Trinity great again, boredom will likely set in, and early on, guaranteed." I'm not kidding when I tell you I fell asleep reading those textbooks. It's thick. So I'm not going to explain the Trinity to you. Instead, I'm going to tell you why the Trinity matters. I believe, at God's core, that God is a relational being. In Genesis 3, after the fruit is eaten and Adam and Eve are feeling the shame of their actions, we read the following about God. "They," Adam and Eve, "heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze." You don't write that about God if you don't understand God to be a relational being. You just say God showed up. God went for a walk in the garden at the time of the evening breeze to have a conversation with Adam and Eve. And the sense you get from reading this is this isn't the first time God has gone for a walk in the garden at the time of the evening breeze to have a conversation. This was part of God's routine. This tells me that God is a relational being. That God is a relational being is reinforced when you consider how many weddings, parties, and meals Jesus attended. We serve a relational God. And the Trinity is a way of explaining God's relationship with God's self and our relationship with God. And that is to say, it is all about relationship. Cast your memory back into the stories of Scripture. God calls Noah and says, "Build this boat for me." God calls to Abraham and makes a promise that his people will grow and prosper. God calls to Samuel, and Samuel answers, "Here I am, Lord." And in our passage this morning from Isaiah, God asks, "Who will go?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." Jesus is walking along the beach, along the waters. He sees some fishermen and he says, "Come, follow me." And they follow. God calls and invites us into relationship. The Spirit still calls and informs us of God, calling and inviting us back to ensure God's work, God's justice is done. And it is about the relationship. The relationship that you have with God, the relationship that we have with God, and the relationship that God has with us, which is one of love, grace, and peace. Relationship, ties that bind. Carolyn Lewis writes, "Relationship, you see, is a rather inconvenient truth about God, especially when God is simply a vehicle for your own power, and the way of Jesus is justification for decisions meant only to keep your own power. Our faith is personal, but never private, meant not only for heaven, but for this earth." God invites us into community. We don't get to use God, as if we ever could use God, for personal gain. And God isn't a weapon to be wielded for self-justification or to exclude others. These things are the opposite of God. Gail O'Day says, "We cannot determine who Jesus is, but who we are must be determined by who Jesus is." And if we are in relationship with Jesus, with our Creator and with the Spirit, with the Triune God, if we are in a relationship with God, then that determines who we are, what we stand for, and what we must do in the world. God, Father, Son, and Spirit, calls to each of us and invites us into relationship. And by extension, we are invited to share the invitation into relationship with others. Our relationship with God, as individuals and as the church, is at the heart of everything that we do, everything that we strive to accomplish on God's green earth. And when we falter, I believe we only need to look at the ways we have fallen out of relationship with one another. And I pray that each of us, that this whole community of faith, would experience the fullness of God's love in all our relationships. That our relationships would be good, and that they would affirm God's goodness. We do not need to understand the complex doctrines to know that God desires to be in a relationship with us. Simply trust that the triune God desires to be in a relationship with you. And if you take a look through the pages of this book, you will see the ways that God has committed to that relationship. Thanks be to God. Amen.